Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of Jesus, amen. We're still saying the Alleluias, Christ is risen. Well, guess what? We're still in the Easter season, and we are still rejoicing in the proclamation that Christ is risen indeed, because his resurrection means that we are justified by God, that you and I, sinners though we are declared righteous by God for Christ's sake. Now think back as I hope you did during the moments of silence before we confessed our sins. Think back to your last and most recent sin. Maybe you didn't have to go back very far. Maybe you only had to go back 2 minutes before the confession of sin. Indeed, we are by nature sinful and unclean. But you are forgiven those sins, all of them, for Jesus' sake. In the absolution I spoke, that forgiveness was delivered to you just as surely as if Christ our dear Lord spoke that absolution, that word of forgiveness to you himself in heaven. This is cause for rejoicing. This is cause for action on our part, if you will. This is cause for us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what? You are proclaimers of the gospel of Christ by your being here, by your singing the hymns with gusto and joy, by your confession of the creed, by your participation in the liturgy. You are proclaiming Christ to one another and Christ to anyone who happens to wander into this service. By partaking of Jesus' body and blood, you are proclaiming Christ because you partake, believing his words, that this is his body, the bread given for you, that this is his blood, the wine, the cup of the New Testament shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Today's hymns speak of the proclamation of Christ Jesus. Listen to this in verse 5 from At the Lamb's High Feast We Sing. Mighty victim from the sky. In other words, Christ, come down from heaven for us men and for our salvation. Hell's fierce powers beneath you lie. Christ has crushed the devil and all his minions underfoot. He has crushed death. By his resurrection, he has swallowed up death. You, Christ our Savior, have conquered in the fight. You, Christ our Savior, has brought us life and light. Alleluia. And the consequence of this, no more can death appall. No more can the grave enthrall us, holding us prisoner. No, Christ has opened paradise, and your saints in you shall rise. Alleluia. We haven't sung it yet, but the closing hymn for the day, sent forth by God's blessing, our true faith confessing. That is proclamation as you leave this place where Christ is present. That is proclamation confessing your faith in a world that does not know Christ, in a world that many times is hostile to Christ. So you, the people of God, from his dwelling will take leave from here in a little over 45 minutes. The supper will be ended, but then we sing, oh, now be extended the fruits of this service in all who believe. See, you extend the fruits of this divine service where Christ is present for you in his word and sacrament. As you leave this place, as you speak of Jesus, to others as you do good works, not to earn your way into heaven, but because Christ has already won your way into heaven. Christ has already guaranteed your resurrection, and this is good news you do not want to keep to yourself. Good news. Good news about Jesus. The word gospel means good news, and it is always about Jesus. The whole Bible is about Jesus. Christ is the center of the Christian church. The confession of Christ as the incarnate Son of God is the centerpiece of all the creeds. And Christ is the content of the gospel. In today's gospel reading, Jesus speaks of himself as the vine. He says, "I am the true vine, ego eimi." In other words, he is using the Old Testament name of the Lord God who revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush. And he applies that name, "I am," to himself. "I am the true vine, not a false vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean." Actually, the word's the same in the Greek. "Already you are pruned because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do zilch. You can do diddly squat. Can't do anything at all in the Christian faith. Apart from Jesus Christ. Do we have any vintners here? Anyone who grows grapes? Anyone? Oh, kind of. Yeah, well, in the winter, don't you prune the vines? And when they begin to sprout, don't you prune those that seem sickly and weak? That don't seem to have as much vitality as the others? Why do you do that? So the vine itself, all the nutrition and the water and the energy it draws from the earth can produce grapes, can produce better grapes than it would have had it not been pruned. So it is with the Holy Christian Church. Every branch of Jesus who is a vine that does not bear fruit, our Father takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Now imagine Jessica's vines as she approaches with those pruning shears. "Oh no, here she comes. Oh, this is going to hurt." But it's for the good of the vine, isn't it? It is so the vine will produce more fruit. And so it is with us when our Father in heaven prunes us, both as a congregation and as individuals in this congregation, as members of the Holy Christian Church. It hurts. God chastens, God disciplines all who are his children. He does so not because he is some kind of cosmic sadist, but because he is love himself, and he causes all things to work for our good. And he also prunes us so we can bear fruit as a church, as individuals. Martin Luther has some very interesting things to say about this passage. And he refers this pruning to the persecutions that the Christian church faces, to the hostility The world confronts the proclamation of the gospel with God is pruning the church by this means. God is strengthening our faith. Indeed, God is enabling the Christian church to bear more fruit, to spread, to branch out into the world. This, of course, is what happened to our Lord. If he had not suffered, if he himself, the vine, had not experienced the pruning of his passion, of the cross, and of his death, there would be no branches to the vine. There would be no Christian church. So look at the world today. Look at the Christians who have been martyred by ISIS in the Middle East. And even here in this country, Christians have died for the Christian faith. God is pruning the church, not because these Christians were less than holy, actually did it because they were holy and beloved to him in Christ. When we see Christians suffering for the faith, we should draw courage from that. Because the martyrs who have died with the name of Jesus on their lips were upheld by the Holy Spirit to confess Christ as Savior and Lord before their persecutors, before those who were killing them, many times by beheading. Tertullian says, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And the word is that a Muslim who saw how these Christians gladly died for the Christian faith and did not renounce Christ himself was converted to the faith by their boldness and their steadfastness, their courage in confessing Jesus as the only Lord. God in the flesh, come down from heaven for us men and for our salvation. This Muslim, who himself experienced wound and injury, who himself was almost killed, is a fruit of the confession of faith that the martyrs gave. In fact, the word martyr means witness. They gave witness to Christ by their willing death. And they are in heaven. And look, look, rejoice and wonder at this. Another soul, another person was added to the Christian church because of their faithfulness, because of their confession, even unto death. I am the vine, you are the branches, Jesus says. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. These are words directed to us here at Mount Olive Lutheran Church. How do we abide in Jesus? The word abide means to remain. It means to stick to be unseparated from. How do we abide in Jesus? Well, it's through his word. It's through the means of grace. It's through the life-giving gospel, which not merely brings us to faith in Christ and makes us new creatures in Christ, but also sustains our faith. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Do you abide in your house? After the service, will you go home? Did you spend the night in your home last night? Did you spend most of the 168 hours of the week in your home, apart from maybe going to work? But after work, you returned home. See, you abide in your home. It is home base. This is where you go at the end of the day to refresh yourself, to relax, to take your shoes off and put your feet up with slippers on the ottoman. So it is with you and me. This church is home base. We abide in Christ by coming here and partaking of the life-giving word and the life-giving body and blood of Christ Jesus, our Savior. As we sang in the sermon hymn, where the paschal blood is poured, death's dread angel sheaths his sword. Praise we Christ whose blood was shed, paschal victim, paschal bread, with sincerity and love, eat we manna from above, alleluia. We abide in Christ and receive the benefits of his death and his resurrection right here through the means of grace. And again, you can only find them here. You can only find them in the Holy Christian Church, gathered for worship, gathered in the name of the triune God, gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus to celebrate his death and his resurrection on our behalf, to proclaim his death and resurrection, to go forth from this place, confessing Christ Jesus in the world, no matter what the cost may be. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Now, that's not a name it and claim it verse. That's not a your best life now verse. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask whatever you wish. You can ask for a $1 million home and Jesus will give it to you. Or as Janis Joplin sang, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? It's not what it's about. We, a new creation in Christ, ask for the things that glorify God. We ask that we would continue to abide in his word. We ask that we would bear much fruit and so prove to be his disciples, as those whose sins are forgiven, as those who have been given new life in Christ. We ask for what God wants and what will glorify our Father in heaven, who sent his Son into the world for us. So we branch out, maybe a little bit here and a little bit there. After all, when anyone is brought to faith in Christ, that's a branching out. One Muslim, most recently, maybe your neighbor here or your cousin there. Those who are brought to faith through your witness, through your speaking of Christ, and through the church's glad proclamation of the death and resurrection of Christ our Lord. For Christ is risen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus your Lord. Amen.